In the name of Jesus, amen. Jesus says to the Jews, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." And so it was that the great patriarch who came from the Euphrates River, who walked the soil of Palestine with family and cattle in tow, was one of the greatest figures of human history, Abraham. And yet, to the dismay of those who have put their trust in human bloodlines, in lineages long and short, in great monarchs and presidents, in hierarchies of bureaucratic religious favoritism, Jesus says, "I am before all of them. I am greater than all of them, and I am the only one who possesses life, who gives it, who sustains it, who resurrects it, and gives it eternal life." Jesus says, "I am. Ego eimi." His name is literally a verb. It's a verb of being. He is. And the tense of the verb is present. It is. It's not that Jesus past tense, I was, and it's not that Jesus future tense, I will be. It's I am, or incorrectly grammatically, I is. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. The Son of God is eternal. He is God. He is one with the Father and with the Holy Spirit. And God is the only being who truly is. The rest of creation, you and me, we all come from Him who simply is. You live, you move, you breathe, you have your life in Him who simply is. He supplies your body and your soul, all that you need to support that body and soul as well, out of His free grace and mercy. The first article of the Creed regarding creation, it's an article of the Gospel. He is and we are because He is. Not that we have some sort of autonomy outside of Him. And in the person of Jesus Christ, God in human flesh, He reveals to us our God and Father. For the Father loves you precisely in His Son, and in whom the Holy Spirit creates and directs your faith and life in this earthly life. As you well know, reason cannot comprehend this doctrine of the Holy Trinity. And cleverness when it comes to the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, often leads to heresies and a denial of the one Catholic and apostolic faith. And so, for one instance, early in the Christian church, around 200 AD, a priest named Sibelius confessed that God is indeed one. But what he failed to recognize was that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are distinct persons of that one Godhead. Instead, he held that God is one person who has different modes of being, ways of operating. This heretical teaching became known after him as Sabellianism or modalism. It eventually died out in the early church, and yet, like all false teachings, they have a way of reappearing. So, early 20th century, you have the Jesus Only movement, which confessed precisely what Sibelius had confessed, that Jesus is the only person of the Godhead, and that Father, Son are only essentially emanations or ways in which Jesus operates in the world. Also, you know, based upon the reading of the Athanasian Creed, that it was written against a false prophet or false teacher regarding Arius and his belief that the Son of God, Jesus, was a created being of the Father. In the end, The doctrine of the Holy Trinity is not something that you are ever going to figure out, because the language finally breaks down because it attempts to describe that which is undescribable or beyond our language. And you know this, having just confessed the Athanasian Creed. But be that as it may, you shouldn't throw caution to the wind and say, well, whatever it's going to be, it's going to be, and I'm not going to think about the Holy Trinity and confess with my mouth the biblical Godhead as it is revealed in Holy Scripture. Every time the festival of the Holy Trinity comes up, this quote from our church father Augustine always comes to mind. For anyone who denies the Trinity is in danger of losing her salvation. But anyone who tries to understand the Trinity is in danger of losing her mind. It's kind of a joke, not really. It's true. You will. You can say just enough to become a heretic, or you can say not enough and become a heretic. So one of the things that is the difficulty of the Christian church and its people is to learn that the body of Christ, the Holy Trinity, its doctrine, is not simply a matter of divine trivia, which happens to be true, but in the end really has no difference in my Christian faith and life. For quite the contrary, the triune God is the one by which we receive the most precious of all gifts, mercy and unconditional love and forgiveness. For there is an eternal dialogue between Father and Son and Holy Spirit for the sake of us lost and wretched sinners. And it's heard most vividly in one of Luther's great hymns, which we sang a couple of weeks ago. We divided it up because it's 10 verses long. Dear Christians, one and all, rejoice. It's a great Trinitarian hymn, actually. And note the language, that the Trinitarian language of this hymn shows you quite precisely that the conversation is not some sort of speculative in the clouds discussion that the Trinity is having, but rather the Father is calling to the Son to have mercy on us people, us wretched sinners. So it pertains precisely to mercy and love. So we sing, God had seen my wretched state before the world's foundation, and mindful of his mercies great, he planned for my salvation. He turned to me a father's heart. He did not choose the easy part, but gave his dearest treasure, that is, his Son. You see, divine love, it existed before the foundations of the world were laid, in the Trinity of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Father loves the Son from all eternity, and the Son loves the Father from all eternity, in that personal bond of the unity of the Holy Spirit. And it is for this sake of the divine eternal love that God in the first place created the heavens and the earth. That he created you, man and woman, male and female. In his image he created you. And also for the same sake of this divine love, the Father sends his Son to redeem you and to save you, his fallen creation. The Son goes willingly to death upon a cross for your sins. That is what grace is. It is the divine love that flows eternally from the very heart of the Father for the Son, which he freely chooses to pour out upon us in Christ, that we might be the firstborn of many brethren. And because his love doesn't depend upon who we are, or how we act, or what we do, but is inherent in this permanent relationship between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, there is nothing fickle about God's love. You can be absolutely sure and certain that the Father loves you in his Son. that God loves you in Christ because of the love that exists already from before the beginning. And so on this Holy Trinity Sunday, you confess that God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That He has always been working for you before the beginning, in the beginning, in the middle, in the end, and into the beginning where there will never be an end. And all of this that I have said is contained in that short little pregnant phrase that Jesus tells to the Jewish authorities. Before Abraham was, I am. Jesus, the I Am, created all things. Jesus, the I Am, confronted Adam and Eve when they had sinned. Jesus, the I Am, told Noah to build an ark. Jesus, the I Am, tested Abraham and wrestled with Jacob in the desert. Jesus, the I Am, brought the people of Israel out of the land of Egypt, out of slavery, led them by a pillar of cloud and fire, and fed them with manna, hidden manna, and gave them water from a rock to drink, who gave them the promised land through the servant of Moses, that of Joshua, and fought for them and obtained for them an eternal promised land. Jesus, the I Am, did all of it. And now the I Am works for you and fights for you with His flesh and His blood. For just as the I Am served the people of old, so He serves you, the Gentile nations, joining Himself to you in His death and in His resurrection. For once and for all, Jesus took upon Himself your sin, died with it upon the cross, and then defeated death and the grave by the power of His glorious resurrection. This, the I Am, this Jesus, this eternal Son of God, who was before Abraham, the Jews didn't understand, nor did they accept. For the God who comes to serve His people, they hated such a God. Ironically, we don't like the fact that God comes to serve us. We want to serve God. Yet we have nothing to serve God with, and He has everything to serve us with. And yet we still reject it. And so what did they do? They called Him a liar. They called Him a lunatic. They called Him a devil. They called Him a hated Samaritan. And they picked up stones precisely to kill Him. And yet we are to find ourselves in the same predicament. For neither does God make sense to us as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that Jesus is the eternal Son of God, and yet at the same time perfect man. And so we who think that we stand in this day, we should take heed always, lest we fall into great shame and vice and sin. For why would a holy God love those who break His commandments? Why would a holy God love those who constantly transgress His ways? We who repent so little and we accuse so much, we who see His forgiveness as a clean slate in order that we might sin that grace may abound, who profane the holy name of God in any number of ways, for our stones might not be those physical, heavy kind of jagged stones. But are we not the same when we resist God's holy word and His love for us? And yet, look at how Jesus responds to the Jews of His day. What divine patience and love does He show with the Jews that day and to us every day? He didn't return demonic slur for demonic slur. He didn't return stone for stone. He didn't return condemnation for condemnation. He did what He always does for His sinful people. He bears with them. He bore with them as He bears with us in our sinful, foolish life and way. Patiently and lovingly, He goes about acting for us sinners, though we have no idea why He's doing it or what He's doing. And through the power of His Spirit, Jesus works in our hearts faith. We confess at Pentecost. And from that faith enlivens our mouth to confess Him to be the eternal Son of God, come to save us and rescue us, those whom He called sons of the devil. This selfless love emanates from the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit into us by way of a Trinitarian mercy, faithful redemption of what we have deemed all over the place as unredeemable. So before Abraham was, I am. I am came in your flesh and your blood. I am was sent by the Father. I am was poured out upon all flesh through the Spirit, giving eternal gifts to men that we would never taste the bitterness of eternal death. The altar of the I am, it's prepared by the Father, shed in the Son, and given in the Holy Spirit, that we, His children, might be kept and also abide in His holy word and faith until we pass from this life into the life eternal, through death unto life. Because the devil who sifted Simeon like wheat, the world and its flesh and its foolish pride that seeks to unearth the mysteries of the Holy Trinity, yet all over the place become false teachers and heretics, and then our sinful and old Adam that rides us day in and day out, that whispers in our ear, that creeps through our creeping sinful flesh, and who gives up on the holy name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, because finally it doesn't seem like it matters anyway. This Jesus, this I am, crossed all of that, the devil, the world, and your sinful flesh. So for you, what is left is that you live, you move, and you breathe in the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In Him you have incorruptible life and the light of eternal life. You are children of the Father as redeemed by the blood of the Son, and you live in the unity of the Holy Spirit's confession. You must rest assured this Holy Trinity Sunday that the Trinity is not some sort of speculative idea about God that cannot be determined in such a way that God indeed loves us, but rather, confessing God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is inimical or completely crucial to understanding that God loves you by way of His mercy and by way of His redemption and by way of His resurrection. For again, the Father created you, even as the Son redeemed you, and even as the Holy Spirit completes you in the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. For we give glory this day to the Holy Trinity and the undivided unity, precisely because He has shown His mercy and love to us. In the name of Jesus, amen.